Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be multiplied unto you now and forever. Amen. For this evening's text of meditation, I've chosen a portion of Scripture found in the Gospel of Luke and reading from the 15th chapter, verses 25 to the end of the chapter. Verse 32. And this deals with the elder brother of the prodigal son. Words are as follows in the name of the Lord. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answered and said unto his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, and neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son has come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and he is found. Amen. In this parable that Jesus speaks about, as he pictures the older brother, the older brother in this parable is an outstanding citizen. Could be a pillar in the community, faithful in his work. And comparing him to the younger brother, who took his inheritance, and even as we read earlier in 15th chapter, the verses 12 and 13, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. He left, and the older brother stayed home. The older brother did all the work. Even as we read in verse 25, he was busy in the fields. His elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew near or nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. He was a good worker. He worked hard. He was faithful to his father. While the younger brother was busy gallivanting around. And it was hard for this older brother to accept his brother when he returned. He was not happy to see him at all. And we think of the prodigal son who wasted his substance with riotous living and how he was disobedient to his father. We also look at the older brother that he too was a prodigal. Why? Because his attitude was bad. His heart was not right. He boiled over in anger when that younger son, younger brother, returned home. He had obeyed the Mosaic laws. He had kept the letter of the law, but not the spirit, for he hated his younger brother. Jesus tells this parable to the Pharisees and scribes. For we read in the beginning of this chapter 15, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receives sinners and eats with them." They didn't like it. Here he was eating. He was receiving them. He was eating with them. And they were the publicans and the sinners. The publicans, which were hated by the Jews. They were the tax collectors. They had no compassion or concern for the sinner or for any of the sinners that were not part of them. Those that were needy, those that were poor, they considered them lower than themselves. They despised them. They despised those that were living in sin. And even those who were coming to hear the word of God, hear the word of Jesus. We too can have the same attitudes as that older brother. Look down, despise those who are different than we are, who dress differently, who act differently. We say they're just good for nothing. They're a danger to us. Lazy. We don't care. Often we don't care about them. We're just concerned about ourselves and our comforts, not to shake us, not to cause any problems. And that goes as far as the beginning and the creation. We think of Jonah, who was called by God to go to preach to the people in Nineveh. And he didn't want to go, and we know how he ran away from God so he wouldn't have to do it, but God had other plans. And he cast him out of the mouth of the whale. So he had to go. He was pouting to God. He was upset when the gourd grew, and it created a shadow for him, and he was glad because he was in the shade. But he didn't care about those 120,000 Ninevites whom God wanted to see changed. He didn't care for his enemies. He didn't care because he was angry. He didn't care if they would be converted. He didn't even like that when they were converted. We could say that we've always been faithful to God. We've never done anything bad. We've come to church. We give and we support our church. But have we really ever come with our hearts broken and having God change us from the inside and allowing Jesus to come and live there and to guide them by the power of the Holy Spirit? The older brother, in verse 26 to 28, he called one of the servants and he asked what these things meant. And the servant said to him, "Thy brother is come. Thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound." And he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. His father came out to his older son and entreated him. He begged him to come in. But instead, he begins to complain to his father. And he says to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve you, neither transgressed I at any time your commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." It isn't fair. We can hear him say, it's not fair. It's not fair what you're doing. Here I've been working hard all my life for you. I've kept all your commandments. Yet you never gave me a fatted calf. You never gave me a party, a fatted kid, which was be like a goat. I never had a party so I could celebrate with my friends. It's not fair. But we need to remember that God is not fair. You know, if God was fair, none of us would have a chance. We read about this complaint in the Gospel of Matthew in the 20th chapter when Jesus teaches and he says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And he hired those early in the morning. He agreed for a penny a day. Then about the third hour, there were some others, and he went and hired them too, and he gave them the same. And about the sixth and the ninth hour, he did the same. Then about the 11th hour, which means there was only 1 hour left, he found others standing idle, and he said unto them, why stand you here idle? And they said, because no man has hired us. And he said, go also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. So then when evening had come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last to the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal with us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. It's not fair. But he answered, and he said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Did not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way, and I will give unto this last even on as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thy eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last, for many be called, but few are chosen. They were murmuring. They were not happy. Yet all received the same wage, and they only worked part of the time. Those that were in the morning and put in bore the heat, burden of the heat of the day complained. But the last ones only worked 1 hour. You know, our God is a God of mercy. And it's not fairness. He doesn't go by what is fair. Because if God were fair with all of us, we would all be condemned and go to hell. For none of us deserve his grace. None of us. And we must never complain when our God shows mercy on some people. For this is the same mercy that he has shown on us. It is by his grace and his mercy. But as Jesus gives this parable, who is it that is hurt the most? Who is hurt the most? It's the Father. For he is the one that loves the most. Our Father forgave because he was filled with love, and he still is. Here he was waiting for his son, the prodigal son. And he must have had many years of anguish. Because we read in verse 20, when the son arose, he came to his father, that was the prodigal. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and he ran and he fell on his neck and kissed him. The love of the father. And the son still felt unworthy, and he said, I've sinned against heaven, I've sinned in your sight, I'm not worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. It was a time of rejoicing. The son had returned and come into the presence of his father. The father forgave him, because he was filled with love. And the elder brother refused to forgive. He was bitter. And this puts him in the same lost condition to his father's love as his younger brother. And we need to be reminded, even as God's children, as Christians, when there's fights that begin between Christians, or when churches even begin to fight against one another, all the parties get hurt, both sides. But we hurt our Heavenly Father the most. He is the one that is hurt, because everything that Christians do reflect on the Father. Everything we do when we claim to be living children of God reflects on our Father who is in heaven. Who amongst us would admit that we are the elder brother? None of us. We don't want to admit that. We're all ready to stone him. But the Father is merciful to him also. He says, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. We act like that elder brother many times. If we see someone or know someone who doesn't measure up to what we think they should be, we either shy away from them, we cut communication, or we begin to shun them. And we're going to teach them a lesson. The elder brother complained to his father and said his father was showing favoritism to his younger brother. When he says, these many years I served thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But he had been enjoying his father's comforts every day. For his father says, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. You know, we need to remember that our Father protects us, and he provides for us every day. And it's much more valuable than one special event, than just to have a party. We recognize miracles when they occur as special gifts from God. But our Father blesses us every day, and he blesses us every hour. And we have much to thank him for. We have our love affair with our automobiles. We drive them daily, sometimes too fast. Sometimes we have close calls, an accident. We came home from Detroit Lakes today on the north end of Toad Lake. There was a bad accident right on the highway. Ambulances and police and sheriffs and everybody else there. And it just puts a shiver to our hearts when we see something like that. In a way, we're thankful that it didn't happen to us. But then, we have compassion and hope somebody didn't get killed. So far as we know, nobody did. We have reason to thank God for protection, to give us safety. Think of the people that live in these countries where they have civil wars and wars going on and people getting killed and they kill children and behead them and all this. And yet we have safety. How many times do we thank Him when we don't really have problems? When the day goes well? Or the day when we don't have accidents? Or the time when we have health, we are healthy, and no bad things happen to us? We'd say, why doesn't God feed us just like He fed the people in the wilderness with His manna? But the greater gift that He does give us, that we have a harvest every year. Harvest every year. And food for many generations of people. Moses struck the rock when they were in the desert and he got water. But the greater gift that we have is rain. Rain that comes, that gives moisture year after year. Sure, we have our dry spells, we pray to God. But then when it rains, we need to thank Him for that. It's sad when we don't recognize that God blesses us every day. He blesses us every day with His mercy and His love. The Father said, Son, Thou art ever with me, and all that I have is Thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and he is found. We need to remember our God is a sovereign God. This world that we live in belongs to God. He shares it with us. He's made us stewards of it. And this includes the spiritual goods as well as the physical ones. He gives us wisdom. He gives us knowledge. He gives us truth. He gives us love. And He has given all of this through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is prepared for us. His love and His mercy endures forever. His words show forgiveness. His words show joy, even for the elder brother. Just like He did to the younger prodigal son. Here, in this instance, the older brothers represent the Pharisees and the scribes, who are angry because sinners were welcomed into the kingdom of God by the Lord Jesus Christ. The scribes and the Pharisees, they sacrificed, they did so much for God. It's like the rich young ruler that came to Jesus. He was rich and he was young. And he asked him, what must I do to gain or inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, keep the commandments. But he said, all these things I have kept from the youth up. I've been faithful, I've kept the commandments. But what does Jesus say? Sell what you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me. He went away sorrowful because he had much, and he didn't want to part with it. The Pharisee that was praying in the temple, we have that in example for us in the 18th chapter. of Luke. The Pharisee was praying in the temple in the 18th chapter, verse 11, 12. He stood and he prayed with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I'm doing pretty well, and even better than what I'm required to do. But the Father wants the brothers to be together. He wants the brothers to be together. When Jesus gives this parable, it has not been lived through yet. It depended upon the scribes and the Pharisees and on how this was to end. And we read in the Gospel of John, he came to his own, and his own received him not. They turned away. They refused him. They rejected him. And in their rejection, they crucified him because they hated him. They put him to death. Said, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. And this really happened. It was 40 years later. Their city, their precious city, Jerusalem, was destroyed. That tells us what happened to the elder brother. But God's word gives us hope, gives them hope, for there is a day coming when the elder brother will come home. And the Jew and the Gentiles will be as one before the Father. And then there will be joy in the presence of God and the angels of God, even as he tells us earlier in the 15th chapter, when one comes to repentance, there shall be joy in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than 99 which have no need of repentance. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. He wants us also to repent and to turn, just like the publican in the temple. For as we continue reading, the publican was standing afar off and would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. That's the will of the Father. He wants us to be one in Christ, coming to him through repentance and faith in him, and to receive forgiveness through him, through the blood that was shed on the cross that covers our sin and gives us life. And so therefore, the gospel was sent out, even as Jesus sent his people to go, his servants to go and preach. The good news that we are to believe our sins forgiven through the precious name and blood of Jesus, when we know we are sinners and deserving his wrath. But he wants us to know his mercy and his love, even as he was telling and entreating the elder son that they should make merry and be glad. For the brother was dead, but he's alive. He was lost, and he's found. In Christ's name, amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the promises you have given to us as we journey in this life and turn from our own wayward ways, our own selfish thoughts, our own judgments, and our false accusations. To know that we have received mercy, let us let God give mercy unto those others, to receive Him and to believe on Him, so that together we can rejoice in that grace and goodness that has been provided for us through the great sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, who went the way of the cross and died for us. O Lord, bless us and keep us. Make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lift your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.